B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
And these guys.
Oh, my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub with Dutcher and Rich.
Is this Urge Overkill? I used to love this song. Sister Havana. They were an underrated Chicago, right? From Chicago, I think. Underrated band.
I don't know. All right. Will Brinson is not answering the phone. Ryan Day took over for Urban Meyer, but he was on the staff.
Okay.
So they did not fall off the table.
I thought I had
Florida did.
Yes, Florida did. They had, I think, Will Muschamp show up. They had a bunch of guys after Urban Meyer. Yes,
anyway,
Florida did fall off.
John and I, there's talk of Urban Meyer being out in Jacksonville, and it's obviously Urban Meyer. If he wanted to stay, this isn't happening. I mean, it's obvious to me.
But
it's obvious to you guys.
But the rub, Fred, is we were talking about this. I'm like, if he wants to leave, is he immediately? See, I want to know how they do this to where they don't have to pay him out.
He might just be like, I want out. You don't have to pay me.
Or you can buy me out of my contract. Here's a generous compromise where.
Sure. Fair enough.
And Shad Khan, who's okay. Yeah,
So basically, the point is I'm leaving for pennies on the dollar. So, but I mean, because they're not firing him if he doesn't want to leave.
I mean, he's got coaches on staff, I think, that have, like, Bevel is an offensive coordinator, and Schottenheimer's, like, the passing game coordinator.
Yeah, but
they got guys that can take over and step in.
Have fun with Schottenheimer.
Well, they're not going to win anyway. That's my point. You got guys who have NFL experience that can do it.
But the thing is that, I mean, it's a disaster for Jacksonville because they're building with youth, and then you, 4 games into the season with a with a rookie quarterback, you're going to switch everything up.
It's almost more of a disaster, though, if they wait till the end of the season and he's gone.
I don't know, because then,
So getting it done now doesn't seem like the worst idea you're going to get rid of him.
But the thing is Urban Meyer's football mind good enough that having him for the rest of the season, he's not going to screw anything up in terms of X's and O's, and then you can have a plan in place to replace him? Well, if you give the team to Brian Schottenheimer, who's a complete clown. I mean, really an awful coach. It could be an unmitigated disaster. I mean, Urban Meyer is a competent football coach. He seems to be a really maladjusted human being, but and not because he was at a bar getting grinded on, because he can't stick around anywhere without claiming mental and physical ailments. So, it's a disaster. It's a disaster all the way around. It was a stunt hire, and it was stupid.
Is he gonna last the end of the season? I mean,
no.
Doesn't look that
certainly
way now.
Not.
What is that, Jacksonville lady?
Certainly not.
Well, the Jacksonville lady would know. She has a beach house right by that Columbus restaurant.
It's somewhere near the beach, all the way in Columbus.
Yeah, it's only 2,000 miles from the beach.
All right, Diamond Dave.
David Lee Roth is announced that he.
Oh my God!
He has announced that he is retiring from show business, ladies and gentlemen. And don't let me tell you. Let's let Dave tell you.
Okay, Fred, you unfortunately missed out on the greatness that was the David Lee Roth radio show.
I did. I have CDs in my car of it. Unfortunately, my car does not have a CD player.
For anyone who lived through that. And Dan O'Brien definitely lived.
Any of us who had to run the board during that and actually was writing out resumes while I was crying tears onto it. Yeah.
Have you ever seen a TV show, like a premiere, and you watched it and you just said to yourself, how did this ever get greenlit? Like, yep. And you said to yourself,
oh, yeah.
There's
talk
no
about
way
a stunt hire, Fred.
Cop Rock, Cavemen.
Yes. Like, this is not going to last 2 weeks. And David Lee Roth, the first time I heard that, I remember I actually listened on his very first show, and he brought his uncle on, and his uncle talked about nonsense for 2 of the 4 hours that he was there. Nonsense. And David Lee Roth had a good live guitarist in studio. He had bongo music playing constantly in the background. Like, I mean, it was like,
yeah, man, jazz it up. It was very soothing.
Obtrusive. Like, when he tried, you could hear him. He was being buried in bongo music. And every time.
Did you say he had the guitar player in studio?
Yeah, so every time he would, like, crack, like, a thing that he thought was a joke, it was like, you know, when the ocean meets the sea, then you got to get the flotsam and jetsam. And the guitarist would go, you're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like, did they honestly just, like, let a bunch of cheetahs go in there and run around and push buttons?
Well, they went to 19. He reviewed all the big shows from 1920 and decided right. to put
I
on
a
show.
I think he honestly talked about getting his helicopter pilot's license for an hour.
Oh, but you know what? There were so many different phases of the. In 3 months, there were so many great phases of the David Lee Roth show. There was him being wild and free. There was about 2 weeks in where apparently CBS executives sat down with him and said, all right, man, you got to start talking politics or something because you're talking nonsense. And then he tried to be political, Dave, and he would come in and with the same bongo music and guitars would be like, abortion, what do you think? Agree or disagree? Let's talk about abortion. And you're like, you're the last one I want to hear talk about abortion.
Well, it's a great topic.
It was a fantastic. People love that in the morning. And then there was the third phase, which was the best phase.
Defeated Dave.
And that was when he actually got a letter from the headquarters that said, you need to do this, 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 and we're taking away your music, we're taking away your guitarist, we're taking away everybody except for your one producer in the studio, and that's it. Oh, and if you don't prepare for your show, we're firing you. He got on the air and read all of those, and you thought he was going to cry. And all he did was take calls from people who were like, Dave, man, they don't know what they're doing. You're the best, Dave. Dave, you're the best radio host.
That was probably his best show.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to cry. And then he started to threaten to sue CBS, who had written him that letter. He was like, you know,
breach of contract, man.
I could have made money going on tour with Van Halen again, but they took that away from me. So CBS, there might be some punitive damages here. We're going to have to throw. I mean, he's threatening to sue him. It was
phenomenal. That would be phenomenal. I saw a guy break down on the air, like completely lose it on the air. When I was working for the Mitch Albom show, the guy that was on before him just lost it completely on the air. It, like, broke down, like lost his mind. Started crying and got fired that day.
Jeez.
He just, like, lost it completely. All right. So anyway, Diamond Dave is retiring from everything except for sweet Japanese tattoos that he gets on his
now
arm.
Why would he be retiring, Fred, when he was so good? He was at the top of his game. I remember, Fred, I brought you, well, we all went to go see Van Halen, and I kept telling Fred, David Lee Roth ain't good anymore. I saw him with Hagar together, and Hagar was great. David Lee Roth was embarrassing, and you're like, I don't care, man, I gotta go see this. What did you do, Fred, as soon as we got there?
It was the first song was Unchained, which I believe is the best Van Halen song, and he didn't sing it, so I left. I said, this is not how I want to remember Van Halen. I love Van Halen.
That was almost 10 years ago.
I remember.
He didn't even do that.
Fred, where are you going?
They spent a half an hour putting talcum powder on wood so he could slide around. Like, I just sat there because, you know, I didn't want to see Cool in the Gang or whoever the hell opened
it. It was Cool in the Gang. I watched it. It was Cool in the Gang.
Yeah, so, like, we got in there, and I'm like, all right, when's the show start? They're just putting talcum powder on wood. That's all. They were doing it for 45 minutes of talcum powder on wood.
That's right.
And he didn't even bother to sing. Like, Dave, I know you love to slide around in the wood. It's super fun, and you have ballet shoes on. But, Dave, come on. Like, you're there to sing.
Fred left.
I left. I didn't want that to be my memory of Van Halen. It wasn't going to get any better. It's not like throughout the show he was going to pick up steam. I mean, if you're not singing the first song, all he wanted to do was slide in that wood. He loved it. He's so weird. Like,
he's like a confused old man because he's like, looking around at shiny things.
Yeah, he was just like, to him, all the performance came down to was that wood being slippery. That's all he thought about.
What was that?
Bang Shabai.
All
right, so here is Diamond Dave himself telling you he's retiring.
David Lee, how you doing, sir?
Rise and shine. It's time to smell the prosperity.
You know it. It's good to hear your voice, man.
Do you have a tape recorder going there?
Yes, it's okay to record on a...
You absolutely okay. should. Otherwise, everybody will have 15 minutes of fame turns into, in 15 minutes, we'll all be famous. That actually happened.
You're the best, man.
John.
Yes.
Please try not to interrupt because I'm going to close my eyes. I'll take you on a ride. I'm calling from having just been on the phone with Alex Van Halen.
Oh.
And we speak to each other constantly. We speak to each other three or four times a day. We laugh like pirates. And he has a message, which I will bring up with you, and you can share it with the planet here.
What
Here's
is-
a story. Here's a story, please. Here's a story. If you let me close my eyes, I can take you on a ride.
Seems like Dave's had a couple of nips in the morning.
You think?
I close my eyes and take a nap.
All right.
Yeah, it sounds like Dave's... I just don't. He's like, don't interrupt this because 15 minutes of fame is the final flume to the plan. Okay, Dave. Give this guy a radio show. And by the way, give him all of Stern's affiliates.
That was just insane.
Well, radio, that shows you how much the executives thought of like doing radio. Like any like a-hole like can just get on. Like, it just, who cares? Just put any jackass on. Dave's a good guest. He did Dave TV. That we put him on. But while you're at it, get Whoopi Goldberg, dude. She'll be the best.
The best, by the way, was when we finally came to BCN, and I was like, hey, can we get some old tapes? Fred's never heard it. And Dan can attest to this. They burned them all. Like, they made them disappear.
They disappeared.
Well, Dave's book, Crazy from the Heat, is out of print. And he's lived this, like, really interesting life. Like, he was in EMT for a while, and you know, he's traveled the world and done all this stuff. And the book's like, 1959, I'm in Indiana. My dad gave me a fire truck. So we're backstage at the Silver Dome in 1984. And I'm thinking to myself, Red Robin, Red Robin. Okay, Panama Canal, 1984. And like, you're just like, okay, this is just, there's no sequence of events. There's no linear story here. Here we go.
You're going to go right there. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary, Alex and I, of arguing and plotting and planning together. I stood up right out of, geez, I graduated in 72, and a few months later, we were making music in his parents' house. All the money went into the gas tank, and I remember the sandwich that Al Van Halen would have half in his mouth, and the other half he would just hand me when he got into my car. And we would drive around the corner to the villa and Allen where the gas station was, and we would both get out of the car so we could both go through all four of our pockets.
This is the Gettysburg Address. He's just stolen this directly from the lips of Abraham Lincoln. 47 years ago, I remember Ulysses S. Grant had a sandwich. We would hand me half the sandwich.
We should play this to end with, so that's why you should root for the Red Sox.
Well, he wants people to love him. He doesn't want people to hate him. He doesn't have the balls to go and do that. Come on. Why'd you have to bring that into this? He's just trying.
That was a cheap shot, Rich.
Yeah, why are you doing that to Dave?
What side you're on. My God,
why are you doing that to Dave?
Whoa!
It's Dave. God. People are saying to root for the Red Sox.
Whoa!
I know. All right. All right. Well, you guys enjoy the show. Rich at 98.5.
For every coin we had to go through and put it in the gas tank. We would start all, we did that.
This is a guy like, uh-huh.
Yeah,
what are you laughing at? Noise. Do you laugh when the vacuum comes on? Like, what are you laughing at?
For 5.5 years. Okay? I just found some pants upstairs. I'm going to save some of the old clothes. I wore a size 29. Eddie was size 26.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Whoa!
This is the guy's retirement. He's getting the gold watch.
What size was he? 26.
Oh, God! Oh, God, I'm running! Oh,
he must have been doing a lot of running to get that slim.
Wow.
That's my beginnings. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm throwing in the shoes. I'm retiring. And this is the first and only official announcement. Al, my handlers, you got the news. Share it with the world.
This so that
and, I'm not going to explain the statement, sir.
Okay, this
the explanation is in the statement.
Yes, just get out the hieroglyphics board in your Dick Tracy decoder ring, and the message is in the statement. I've left several.
Oh my God!
Left several clues. All right. That, I don't know if there's any necessary to play any more of that.
I would think that might be it.
Yeah, because there's a minute left, but I can't imagine there's much to it.
No,
but
it's you taking all of his words, and it's like the scene in A Beautiful Mind where they're trying to connect what he's saying to what the true meaning is.
But his final definitive statement, and I'm not making this, is I'm throwing in my shoes, was the...
He probably literally was doing that at that moment.
Yeah, he got a smokeless fire pit. He was throwing his shoes away. All right, we will be back.
Class dismissed!
By the way, did you guys hear Fangio talking about Baltimore?
No. Okay, yeah, we have the clip, and we'll play it in a minute, because apparently him and Harbaugh hate each other, and I got to watch the end of that game and kind of figure out what the hell was going on.
Here's what was going on. There was something with 100 yards rushing game.
There is a streak that the Ravens have, and it's 100 yards rushing every game, and they were just a few yards short.
Game was over. Instead of kneeling on it, they went for the run. Yeah,
instead of killing the clock, they ran, and Fangio was, I'm not surprised. Rise of that son of a bitch. It's a half brain operation. Remind me of the pansies that would freak out. You'd have to carry them over to mind yourself. Sit here, you lily livered prick. I got your urine on my shoulder. I'm carrying your ass and you're peeing your pants.
Get your urine on his shoulder.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember Rambo saying anything
about
that.
Well, I got him carried over my shoulder. He's sitting there urinating himself while I'm carrying his ass over the minefield.
I understand. Why?
He's literally living.
Well, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like you don't like Jim Harbaugh at all.
Nah, Harbaugh reminds me of one of these pansies. They start, when there's an airstrike, they start crying for the mamas instead of grabbing the knife and going and stabbing whatever the thing is in front of them.
I don't think you can stab anything in the NFL. That's not really inappropriate.
You stab them with your head. You stab them with your soul. You kill them softly.
So you think what he did was cowardly?
You'd run it down their throat.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll play him again. I'll see you again, Abba.
Really?
So you can try to shake my hand after the game, you son of a bitch. I'll break your knuckles.
You'd be covered in mud, hiding in like the side of a mountain.
That's right. That's right. I'm under the field.
Really?
Yeah, you ever see the wire?
That's uncomfortable.
You ever see the wire?
Yeah, no.
I'm like the gay guy with a gun. I do what's right.
About
the dead fellow, the guy that just died.
It's a reference I don't get, but I do like how it came out, yes.
Yeah, I'm like Mario, whatever the hell his name was.
Like Mario with what?
I'm like Mario.
You've lost me. Oh, really?
I'm like Mario in the cat
suit. You would wrestle me. I got a scholarship to Iowa.
For a minute, I thought you were going to go into Rambo Nick Fangio. Mario playing Rambo Nick Fangio.
Mario Lopez would play me in the movie. You'd be played by Zach.
I don't see how that would work.
Eh? Shut up, Four Eyes. You wouldn't even. You probably got flat feet. Go ride to your mother. Those bunions keep you out of the service.
All right. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Right, we'll be joined by Will Princeton in just a moment.
Sports Hub. Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Rich and Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I thought it was kind of bull, but I expected it from them. 37 years in pro ball, I've never seen anything like that. That's just their, mode of operation there. Player safety is secondary.
One part he said that he expected it, and it was because I know how they operate. Just that's their mode of operations, where player safety is secondary. I didn't know how you want to respond.
I mean, I thought we were on good terms. We had a nice chat before the game. Known each other for a long time, but I promise you, I'm not going to give that insult one second thought. What's meaningful to us might not be meaningful to them. Their concerns are definitely not our concerns. If we got the ball back, we were going to try to get the yards.
and we got it back with 3 seconds left. So you're throwing the ball in the end zone with 10 seconds left. I don't know that there's a 16-point touchdown that's going to be possible right there. So, you know, that didn't have anything to do with winning the game.
Yeah. Winning the game. Who's going to win the war? Fangio's coming for you. You got a target on the back of your head, you prick. Yeah, gonna do it slow, too. They're gonna gut you like a pig.
They thought they were such good friends, and then Fangio had to...
I expect nothing less than for your pansy-ass team. I already have threshing. 16-point touchdown. How about a 16-point leg lock? There's 16 positions on a man's body that you can push to kill him. Let's try them all, Haba.
Why would you want to do that? I mean, come on.
I don't know. I'm going to have your brother crap his khakis when he sees me coming. your brother.
You're going after his family now?
Yeah, that's right. You got that right for our eyes. You got that right radar.
Radar?
Yeah, you call your radar. You remind me of one of them.
That's a MASS reference, ladies and gentlemen.
You remind me of one of them Long Island boys.
A show that has been off the air before most of our listeners were born.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You knew how to work all the radio equipment, but when it came time to gutting pigs, you with lily liver.
Okay.
Yeah, you sat there radio home to Ma all day, but when it came time to slice it and dice it, you wouldn't know where to be found.
But Rambo Fangio, that seems like you're going a little too far over the top here.
I know Wallach's type.
Okay, do you know?
I used to call him a woman by convenience.
Really?
Yeah, out there in the jungle.
I see.
Put a mop on your head.
Okay. I mean, get a little aggressive here.
Not really sure about that.
Yeah, Fangio.
All right.
You know.
Fangio, don't discriminate.
Fangio's got his own theories. Will Brinson is senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He also hosts the Daily Pick 6 podcast. Will is brought to you by Dunkin'. Dunkin's new limited batch series is 100% Guatemalan hot coffee and is smooth and rich, featuring chocolate notes, meaning it's smooth sipping from here on out. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer, and Will joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Will Brinson, hello.
Oh, Mr. Rambo Fangio. You know what's weird is Vic Fangio actually worked for John Harbaugh for a year. I think in 2009 they worked together or worked for him. And then he left and went to work with Jim Harbaugh at Stanford and followed him to freaking Palo Alto or wherever the hell they played their football with the 49ers. So it's like, this is very bizarre. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he is throwing the ball. I think this cuts both ways. Bloody knife cuts both ways, I guess.
Yeah. I would be upset if I was Denver and I saw that it took a 68-yard field goal to beat Detroit and you had just dominated a Jets team, killed them from the first kick, and then you get killed by Baltimore. That was a disappointing result. I saw the spread on that game and I thought it was high, and then obviously Vegas is always knows what they're doing.
It was a pick'em, right? Which is crazy.
No. It was higher than that, I think. Or at least when the Bankroll Boys were in here, I think it was higher than that.
Denver was favored or Baltimore? Maybe Baltimore.
I thought Baltimore was favored.
It might have been like -1 or -2 by the time it closed.
Yeah.
But it opened Baltimore as a dog, which I thought was weird considering the Broncos had beaten up. It was like the Broncos and Panthers felt like pretty prime week 4 regression candidates, you know, when you play the Jets, Jaguars, and Giants.
Yeah, that Carolina team was on TV here. I don't know why, but it was the Dallas-Carolina game. I didn't watch much of it, but Carolina was unbeaten. That's not a real team, is it?
I think they're better than people think they are, but not as good as their record says they are. I mean, their defense is really very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's still really young, and it's still the pieces are still coming together, but they're going to be really good next year, I think. And Sam Darnold's playing some good football.
Right.
DJ Moore's a stud. The offensive line is a major problem. And it goes to bad breaks, too. There was Dalton Schultz or Blake Jarwin gets absolutely just stood up by Jeremy Chinn and pile driven into the ground. As he's going down, he loses the ball, and the refs come flying in. They're like, forward progress is stopped. It's like what? And Carolina clearly had recovered, and so they lost a fumble there. There were a couple bad penalties, but Dak and that offense are cooking. I think Carolina's probably I think they're going to follow that Matt Rhule trajectory that he had in college, where he went like 2 wins, 500, and then has a breakout year. And I think 2022 is when I would target. Like, they'll probably flirt with the playoffs, but probably won't go.
And Darnold's the guy.
I think he is the guy for. I don't think they'll draft a quarterback,
okay,
unless somebody falls in their lap, or Deshaun Watson is magically cleared by the thing and didn't trade for him.
Yeah. By the way, who the hell are you going to draft this year? You're not drafting Spencer Rattler.
Oh darn! I thought he was the next big thing.
No, he's just very handsome. But the
or Sam Howell.
Yeah. I mean, all these guys are underperforming. I mean, the kid from Cincinnati wasn't, like, electric or anything during the Notre Dame game. I mean, none of these guys. I mean, who's going to win the Heisman this year?
That's a good question. The Ole Miss kid is Bryce. I mean, if it's Bryce. Whoever Nick Saban's got standing at the end of the year, I don't know. It's Bryce Young's the favorite in Vegas right now, followed by Matt Corral or whatever for Ole Miss.
But they just got killed.
Yeah.
Even though I had my popcorn ready and everything.
Did you see Lane later? So he goes, I didn't realize that was the last question that I was going to be asked. Or it came off like it was rude, and I did that on purpose, but I absolutely didn't. It's like, right, you just yelled, get your popcorn ready.
And then spiked the mic.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, sure, Lane.
You were
Carson Strong from Nevada.
All right, I don't know. My point is that this isn't exactly, this draft is not 2021. The 2022 draft is not shaking out where there's going to be five quarterbacks taking the first 15 picks.
No, well, I mean, it'll be like 2011 when they're. Just a disaster.
Well, speaking of those quarterbacks, you know, these rookies, Fred's got a great theory that for some reason I didn't even think of just because of who it was occurring with. So Jimmy Garoppolo was injured. And of course, around here, when you hear Jimmy Garoppolo was injured, you're like, well, of course he was. And so he got taken out of the game at the half. Now, according to the reports, and I don't know if you heard anything different, it was Jimmy that actually went up to Kyle Shanahan and told him that he was hurting and that maybe he shouldn't go back in, and that's why they put in Trey Lance. Fred seems to think that that's a conspiracy and that he was ultimately benched in order to put Lance in there. Now, hang on real quick. Before you explain, let me give you a little more evidence for you, Fred, or a little more ammo. So yesterday a story came out that Jimmy Garoppolo, quote, has a chance to play for the Niners Sunday in Arizona. Kyle Shanahan said, it wasn't as bad as we thought it might have been. Today he's in a lot of pain and still sore. Wednesday, if he gets better, he has a good chance. That to me almost is more ammo towards your side, Fred, that he wasn't actually injured.
I was watching that game.
Well, but just to add a little more context to that, after the game, Jimmy G sort of had like an emotional moment with reporters where they said, you know, what's the deal? And he's like, I'm hoping it's just a calf. I'm hoping it's just a couple week thing. I'm really hoping it's not the Achilles. This is getting really old, being injured all the time or something. So I'm paraphrasing the last part of it. But like he did that, and I think Kyle Shanahan was like, are you kidding me? Why did you tell him you're going to be out for 3 weeks? He wants to make the Cardinals prepare for multiple quarterbacks.
All right. Well, fair enough. But, I mean, it just seemed convenient. They did it at the half, and then Garoppolo standing on the sideline with a headset on looking pissed by himself. It just seemed it looked like a lot like – And, you know, San Francisco was dominating that game, but they weren't dominating the scoreboard. And it just seemed, you know, and I think we talked to you about this, too, is that it seemed like the kind of game where, you know, Shanahan is sick of out coaching guys and not having it be reflected on the scoreboard. And it seemed like the perfect place to put in the kid that you drafted to be that quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, no, it felt like when we first saw it happening and the 49ers, because the 49ers didn't tweet, Jimmy Garoppolo is injured. They tweeted Trey Lance is in at quarterback or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it was just Trey Lance is in at quarterback. That was the news we got. It was like, okay, and if you're watching the telecast, you know, it wasn't, we've been told that Jimmy Garoppolo is hurt. Because I don't know why I'm playing in this conspiracy, but I do like conspiracies. If he is hurt, the first thing you don't say is, okay, Trey Lance is in. You say Jimmy is hurt. Jimmy's hurt. Our starting quarterback's hurt. We're going to our backup, you know, right. And they treated it more as like Trey Lance is in. And then the news comes out that Jimmy G is questionable to return with a calf injury. I think Kyle Shanahan may, and people are yelling at him now because he's like, why'd you trade up for a guy who's not ready when you know you got a guy who's always hurt that you wanted to replace with the draft pick? I mean, I think he is maybe stuck between sort of in a like a void here where Trey Lance isn't quite ready and Jimmy's not quite healthy and not quite playing up to where he wants to be playing. And the bigger problem is, you know, they're outscored. You know, they should have won that game against Seattle. They've also got this issue of Arizona's 4-0, the Rams are 3-1, Seattle's 2-2 right there with them. And, you know, if you lose too much ground here early on, it's going to be tough to make it up in that division. So I don't want to say he's panicking. I think he goes to Lance this week because I think Jimmy's hurt. He's just kind of playing mind games right now. But, you know, if they lose this week, if they're 2-3 and Arizona's 5-0, that's a substantial amount of ground to make up.
All right, so finally, Will, just from a national perspective, obviously we've talked a lot about Sunday night. What did you gain out of that game? What did you take away from that Patriots-Tom Brady reunion?
What was the Zolan or the Zolan Bertrand take I heard while on hold? It was like the Patriots won that game. I like that. I like that spin. That's fun. The Patriots decidedly did not win that game. They actually lost the game. I do think Matt played well. I mean, you know, that's a big spot. It's pouring down rain. You know, Tom Brady's homecoming. You got to, you know, there's a lot of pressure there. He averaged up the target was like 5.5 yards. I mean, he wasn't pushing the ball down the field the way that some people would imply, but that's a really difficult position to be in. And I thought he acquitted himself really well, all things considered. You know, Brady, Belichick threw everything he had in his bag at Brady. And it just wasn't quite enough, which is kind of hilarious that, you know, Brady in this rain-soaked, it felt like an 0-3 Patriots win for the Buccaneers and Tom Brady. And I don't know, I didn't think anybody came away as a huge winner or a huge loser. I thought the game lived up to the hype. You know, I know it wasn't exciting enough for, you know, like bloggers like Pete Blackburn. I love Pete.
Randomly specific?
Wow.
All right.
I saw Blackburn. I love Pete. Pete's my boy. But I saw Pete was like tweeting. He's like, this game kind of stinks if we're being honest. I'm like, no way. This game is like wildly entertaining. Everything's hanging. It's right there. It's like a tight game. It doesn't have to be high scoring to be exciting. But I thought that I thought it lived up to the hype. I thought NBC did a really good job capturing all the stuff leading up into the game. You know, the interviews with Man on the Street was a bit much. Like Sully,
Schwartzy
has played competitive football.
Wait, is that a picture of Schwartzy, or did they just get a generic picture of somebody from Boston?
That was absolutely a picture of Schwartzy in a Bruce Armstrong uniform.
If it was a generic photo of someone from Boston, it would have been a redheaded gentleman with a Celtics jersey on who has not seen enough. The sun.
And like a corncob pipe and some Lucky Charms or something. Yeah, that's oddly specific too, huh? I thought it was a great game. I thought it lived up to the hype. I think Tom Brady to come in. What stood out to me more than anything, and I don't really know if this has been covered or talked about, but I mean, how many games has Tom Brady won in his life? How many touchdowns has he thrown? You know, how many touchdowns has he scored? And you always see him. You know, he's not somebody that's gripping a game ball like it's his newborn child. And he didn't let go. He didn't let it go of that game ball at the end of that game. He took that final knee, and you always see him flip it back to the refs, and they'll figure out how to get it later. Brady's got that thing under his right arm. And he spent the entirety of the post game hugging it out with everybody with that game ball stuck to his side. And I think that's significant in the sense that it tells you just how much that game meant to him.
Certainly did. All right, Will, thanks so much for the time.
All right, Willie, see ya.
I appreciate it. Lucky Charms guy.
Corncob pipe.
Mm-hmm. This is talking to the amount of Irish people in the city of Boston.
All mm-hmm. Bostonians who are Irish have corncob pipes. I bet he bought that copy of the New York Post that has the woman with the Boston Sucks shirt on.
Yeah.
Haters.
So Irish people are just supposed to take it now? It's okay to pick on the Irish? Mm. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
A zillion people watch Steve Belichick's tongue. Science has officially determined the scariest movie of all time. And I got something special for Mr. Johnny Wallgame.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Dr. Demento is alive and...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Well, here are the headlines.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack.
Stack it up and stack it up some more. Stack it up, stack it up. Have some fun. 985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, we knew the ratings for Tom Brady's return were going to be massive, but this is pretty ridiculous. Was it the most watched Sunday night game ever? Believe it or not, no. It was the second most watched, and it was the most watched in 9 years, given the data that was thrown in by Nielsen. As a matter of fact, it registered a total audience of approximately 28.5 million people across all the platforms. Only the 2012 regular season finale between the Dallas Cowboys and Washington, which was essentially a playoff game, if you, of course, remember, with the NFC East title at stake. Washington ended up winning that one. The local markets with the highest viewership, Providence, Rhode Island, a 73 share there. In Boston, a 70 share. Tampa, a 51 share. And in Hartford, Connecticut, a 44 share. On top of that, the DraftKings Sportsbook said that Sunday night's game was the third most bet game by money in their history, only behind last season's AFC Championship and the Super Bowl. Boy, wouldn't it be great if Massachusetts could actually get some of that money and you could actually legally gamble on sports in Massachusetts? How good would that be for the economy? Just throwing it out there. Not quite sure why it hasn't quite happened yet. So there you go. Congratulations to all the people at NBC. And the good news was they got people to stay hopefully all the way to the end because it wasn't decided by a blowout at the very beginning. John Wallach, I got something for you.
Okay.
A brand new trailer for something you, of all people, are going to be interested in. What is this for, John?
Gods.
James Bond.
Kings. Fire.
Oh.
And blood. Dreams didn't make us kings. Dragons did.
The prequel to Game of Thrones.
Yes, House of Dragons. Yes, sir. Right. HBO has released the trailer for House of the Dragon, which is going to be coming out next year, they are saying. And, oh, there's a lot of drama. It's basically a bunch of people walking on a beach and then walking around and more walking around and then a dragon. So there you go. You're going to get all of that stuff.
I heard the accent and I thought it was No Time to Die, but it's not.
Well, okay. Yes, they are all. Apparently, they're all British.
All right.
I'm quite sure why.
Right. I just think it goes kings.
Kings, gods.
Gods fire. And fire.
Blood and toilets. Game of Thrones.
Indeed.
We're going to have to do that game one more time when that comes out because it truly is one of the best games that's ever been done in the Toucher and Rich history. But yes, that is going to be about the House of Targaryen, which I think is the one with the good-looking...
It's the blonde.
Okay, that's
the short
what I thought.
Blonde. Yes.
All right, that's her like heritage and
yes.
All that stuff.
Yes.
All right, so there you go. You excited for this after the way that it ended and ruined Game of Thrones completely for you?
I spent so much time trying to figure out what character was what, and it's ended so poorly. No, I'm really not enthused about this. No.
Those who walk in the night, a.k.a. Nightwalkers?
Yes. Beware.
Defend the wall.
Dragons find you delicious and taste great with ketchup. Do not meddle in their affairs.
The Science of Scare. There is a brand new scientific study that has been released where they tried to find the scariest film of all time.
Sleepaway Camp. Yeah, I've done your research for you.
Not on the list, Fred.
Sleepaway Camp is the scariest movie.
The way they judged it by is heart rate on how much it jumps while watching your film, and at what?
How many frights?
Yeah, how many frights, and also at the level in which your heart rate stays. I think this thing is somewhat garbage because the number one movie is something no one has heard of, and it's also a fairly new movie that's on a streaming service called Host. It's also less than 60 minutes long, so it's barely even a movie, but nonetheless.
Oh, that was I know what one. That movie is. It's supposed to be like found footage. It's supposed
wow,
to be,
what an original idea.
It's supposed to be like incredibly, incredibly graphic.
Well,
like,
that yeah.
It's about a like influencer. I read about it. It's supposed to be like it's British, right? It's supposed to be like some like crazy really, really super graphic movie.
Yeah, okay? It's called Host, and
it's about a girl that goes to England, right?
I don't know. I have no idea, but I'm looking at the rest of the list. At number two, Sinister. Mm, how creepy. Insidious, The Conjuring at number four. Hereditary at five. You know what's weird is that the guy who did Midsommar did Hereditary. And Midsommar was so good and so messed up that I almost don't want to watch it at Hereditary. I have a feeling like that Ari Aster guy's got a way of kind of getting to me, and I like it, but I don't want to watch that film. Number six is a movie called Terrified. All right. Seven is It Follows. It Follows is a good film. That's the one where there's a demon that chases you, and the only way to get rid of it is to hook up with somebody. And as soon as you hook up with them, then the demon chases that person. So basically, everyone has to start hooking up to get rid of this thing. A Quiet Place, it was two, is at number eight. Paranormal Activity at number nine, and The Conjuring 2 at number 10. I'm looking for, like, classics. And the first one I see on here is at number 16, A Nightmare on Elm Street, which the first one was legitimately a great movie. The rest of them are obviously all corny. 17 is Halloween. I'm not a big slasher film guy. And 18, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I think the scariest one on this list is The Descent, which comes in at number 12. The Descent is that movie about those group of women who go spelunking, like, you know, cave exploring. And then they get trapped, and so that's already claustrophobia building. And then after about two-thirds of the movie is done, they realize there's things out there that are out to kill them inside the this cave. It's absolutely, if you are claustrophobic at all, it is a nightmarish movie to watch.
Well, I think getting stuck in a cave would register as claustrophobic for most individuals.
A lot of people, right.
The Invisible Man's at number 25. Did you ever see that one, the new one that just came out?
I haven't seen any of those movies.
The Invisible Man's really good. Like, that's a really well-done movie.
The Ralph Waldo Emerson tale?
Is that The Invisible Man?
I don't know.
The Invisible Man is a book that you had to read in high school.
Oh, I didn't read that. We didn't read anything classy.
I didn't read that either.
You didn't read A Heart of Darkness?
My son is reading a book for school, and I saw the name of the author, and I went, is that the dude that wrote Hellraiser? He's reading a book by Clive Barker for school.
Yes.
He's in fifth grade.
Clive Barker.
I was like, all right. Cool, man.
My son's got The Outsiders. I said, just call me Pony Boy. All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Tomorrow, let's talk about the game on Sunday.
Red Sox.
Brandon Merriweather. And, you know, you can root for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave on that. I mean, I don't want
to
freak anyone out. All right, everyone have a great day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.